Psalm 92. Turn your Bibles there. You doubly pray for me this morning as I preach this. I don't know what direction God wants me to go in it, and so I'm just kind of running some things through my head. And some days, my wife would say more often than not, some days it's hard for me to think straight. Amen. So, when I can't think straight some days, I'll just let the Bible do it. And I want you to look at Psalm 92, verse 9. I've been preaching this for a little while. In fact, let's go to verse 7 in Psalm 92. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Think about that. Think about how come is it the devil's crowd in the world seems like they're doing well and they're springing up everywhere. Somebody mentioned to me that we've had this issue with this Hillsboro boy pretending he's a woman going in the girls' bathroom, and now somebody else said that's in another school in this county. Okay, they're dealing with it. Okay, and the pioneer has already broke the ground. And now others all over the country are going to rise up. And we ask ourselves, God, why are you letting this? God, why are you doing this? Okay? And it's just like this idea. And I want you to keep this in mind as I preach this morning. And I've talked about my weed garden. I looked out at it again this morning, Ian. And I'm seeing all these little bushes coming up. It's got these little thorns sticking out of it. And I'm going, where were you 2 weeks ago when I was pulling all them other guys out? Okay? The fact is, I probably got thousands of those seeds down in that dirt in there. And they don't all come out at once. Okay? But the only way that I know for sure that I can get them out is for them to spring up. Does that make sense to everybody? Amen. So what's God going to do? What do we know that Jesus told us that is God's going to do in the last days? The enemy sowed tares among the wheat. How in the world can you tell for a while the tares and the wheat? You can't. You wait till harvest. Then it's easy to pick them out because the fruit is different. Think about it. The fruit is different. And so that's what's happening. That's what this verse is. When the wicked spring as grass, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, that word flower is in there. It is that they shall be destroyed forever. That's why God's allowing it. Don't forget that, all right? And let me just say this in preparation for this message, okay? You have, you're the flower garden. There are still things in you that you don't know about. But you want them out. Amen? So don't be surprised if they come out. Okay? Just think about that, all right? Now, in verse 8, he said, But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Now look at verse 12. This is what you see up on the screen. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Do you believe, especially that last phrase, do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. And I want you to keep that in mind, and let's pray that God will lead me in the direction He wants me to go in this message. All right? Heavenly Father, I'm asking for Your help this morning. Lord, I don't know. Lord, I get nervous, God, when I don't know where I'm going. And Lord, I have to trust You, and I have to lean upon You, God. And You have to use my weakness to show Yourself strong for these people. Lord, I've asked You, God, to be kind and be good to these that have gathered here, those that are online, those that are in Kenya. Lord, I ask you, God, to show them your word and show them, Lord, how that word is applied in their hearts. And so, Lord, I'm asking you this morning, would you rise and would you break forth bread for these people? Because, Lord, I have none. So, Lord, I'm asking you, God, I'm going to ask you again to bring us bread of life, because these people are on a long journey. And Lord, Father, there's people here, there's probably people listening online, maybe, Lord, people out of the many that's gathered there in Kenya that are dealing with issues of life, Father, that they've ignored too long. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help them. And Lord, that you would give them grace and comfort. And Lord, help us to understand and realize, Lord, your amazing grace to us. So, Father, just please bless the message and help us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I've been showing you these pictures of what flourishing looks like. This is desirable. This is what we want. This is what I want for our church. Not a big flower garden. I would like a nice flower garden, but it didn't have to be this big thing. But what I'm talking about is I would like for our church, I'd like for when people come in here, people like Tammy was just saying a while ago. Her and Chris came in here out of the blue, and we just accepted them, just took them in. And God has blessed them, and they've called here, said, man, will you, Chris will call, Pastor, will you pray for us? Will you pray for us? Will you lift us up? Will you call upon God for our behalf? And we've been there, and we've done that. And I like that when they come in, and they say, you know what, this is it right here. That blesses me, okay? That means they don't see a big briar patch in here. They see a beautiful garden that God's planted in this place out of dirt. Amen? So that's what I like. Now, here's where I'm struggling. There's always three main areas in life that you and I deal with, especially if you're part of this church. We deal with our personal lives. All right? Just between you and God, what's going on between you and God. And is your life right before Almighty God? He knows whether it is or not, doesn't He? You can fool everybody else. You can play all the games. I've been in church a long time. Most of my life has been spent in church. And I've seen people play church. I've seen people play games and act right and act righteous before God that weren't. I've done it before. And I'm just telling you, God wants to deal with us individually and personally about issues that are in our life. I want my life to be a flower garden and not a briar patch. A briar patch, when you look at it, you stay away from it. You don't go in that. You don't have anything to do with it. If you're out in the woods, which I hope to be here in the next 6-7 weeks, something like that. That's a hint, by the way. If you're walking out in the woods and you see a briar patch, you don't just go and embrace the stupid briar patch. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. But you see dogwood trees out there blossoming early in March. You see flowers coming out. You say, ooh, that's pretty. Well, that's nice. I'd like to have that. That's great. That's what I want my life to be like. All right? Then I want that for my marriage. Okay? Let me give you a little clue here. Pastors, if you're listening out in Kenya, God does not give a special ordination to a pastor and his wife that they don't have any problems like everybody else has. That's, if you think that, you're wrong. And if some preacher before put off like his life at home was perfect, what's the matter with the rest of you? I'm telling you, it wasn't. He's lying to you. Pastors in Kenya, I want to encourage you. Listen to me. Be honest with yourself, with your wife. Be honest before God about what's going on in your marriage. God will bless that. But when you stand up in front of people and act like you're better than they are, God will not bless that. Did I say that right? Say amen.
Amen.
Lisa and I, we've had problems. We've had difficulties. God has brought us out of every one of them. Okay? And He's not done. He's still got work in my heart. He's still got work in her heart. We want our children to see that. We want our grandchildren to see it. We want this church to see it. Not that we're showing off or bragging or anything like that. But all I want you to see out of us is the grace of God that God had to apply in us. That's what I want. That's the flowers. Amen? You don't talk about Lisa and I like we were some briar patch. Stay away from them. I know he's a pastor, but boy, I don't want that. I don't want talk like that. And then our church. And we've undertaken this idea before we ever started streaming our church service. We had a talk. I don't know if you remember that or not, because I asked you if we should do it. One of the things I said was, if we turn cameras on inside our church building, we're not going to try to pretend that we are something that we're really not. Okay, we're going to sing old songs. We're going to make mistakes playing them. I'm going to forget the words and repeat verse 4 5 times. Don't laugh at me. Some of you are just pretending to sing, and I know you're not. And thank God you're not. Amen. But we just decided we wasn't going to put on a show for everybody when we turned the cameras on. I want people on the other side of that line to see the real deal here in this place. And I want people who come in off the street to see the real deal here in this place. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. So I want God to bless us. I want us to flourish as the palm tree. I want God's righteousness to flourish in us. I want it in our marriages, not just mine and Lisa's, but in our homes and in our marriages. I want God's righteousness to work. And I do not want briar patches in our homes. Because if you try to be a rose here and a briar patch at home, there's something wrong. And it won't work. How many of you know that? Say amen. It will not work and God will not bless it. All right? So Genesis 2:8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And then in verse 15, he said, the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, here's where I really am struggling, because I'm wanting to preach on the thorns of a man, the thorns that come into a marriage. God, men, listen to me. God put it in our hands to dress the garden. Amen, men? And God's had to deal with me about stuff. God's going to deal with you about stuff. But he put it in our hands to dress the garden. I want my home to look like a rose patch and not a briar patch. So there's going to be issues now that God's going to have to deal with, because he has given us the responsibility of the home. He did not, and this, I want you to just think about this. When it comes to flowers, who's probably better at it than anybody? It ain't the man. It's the wife. Okay? When we go to the nursery to get plants, I let Lisa pick them out. Okay? And I have a flat answer for everything she picks out. Do you like this? Yes. Yes, I do. Okay? And that means I'll plant it. You bring it home and I'll plant it. All right? But God gave us the responsibility, men, over our homes, over our families, over our marriage, over what's going on there. You pray for Stacy back there. He's having a hard time, all right? But God gave us the responsibility of it, and it's a responsibility that I tried to shirk for years. Okay? I tried to get out of it as often as I could. And I'll just tell you a story. Let me get to this next verse here. I'll tell you a story. God dealt with me one day about my role in the marriage. And after I became pastor here, we ran a school and I was busy doing this and that and the other. And my wife worked for a large insurance company. She wasn't selling insurance. She worked in a big office. And she handled Medicare claims and things like that. She looked for fraud, and she had a pretty important job, and she did it well. And they paid her well for that, and they gave her benefits, and we always took nice vacations, and she drove a nice car and everything like that, and everything was good. And there would be about 3 or 4 times when God would deal with her about quitting that job and coming to be with me here. And every time she did, she'd say that to me, and I'd say, well, honey, it's your decision, and I'm going to pray for you. And it was funny, because every time God dealt with her about that, the company would give her a raise. Well, we'll just stay where I am then. And the last time they did it, she came to me and said, I really feel like I need to quit there and be with you. And I said, honey, it's your decision. I'll pray with you. Okay? They gave her, this was like August, and they gave her a raise that was retroactive to the first of the year. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, she was going to get that raise money in August. And the last time I told her, Lisa, it's up to you. It's your decision. I thought I was being a good husband by honoring my wife's respect. And I no sooner said that, I walked away, and God smote me hard. And God said, Mike, you're a liar. It's not her decision, it's yours. And you've been not making it all these times, and you and I both know why. She was making good money. Mike, it's your decision. I put her under your authority, your rule. And when I repented of that, see, this kind of ideology doesn't work well in the 21st century, does it? Okay? For the most part, people will reject it. But let me tell you what God did. I went to her and I said, Lisa, I've been wrong. It is my decision because you're under me. And I said, I'm telling you, go turn in your 2 weeks notice. And we'll figure something out. She was going to leave a job that paid very, very, very well and just come here without even a promise of getting anything. And we were going to have, God was going to force us to depend on Him. Okay? Now here's what happened. She turned in her 2 week notice. The day of her last day at work, that she's going to get off early and meet me here at the church. I went to a funeral across town in a Dodge van that we had, went to the funeral, and on my way back, the van died. Transmission went out on it. Okay, that's expensive. So I had to walk all the way, this is back before I had a cell phone. I had to walk all the way across town here, and she was here, and I told her what happened. And she started crying, and I said, it doesn't change anything. God will take care of it. Don't you worry about it. Okay? Now, let me tell you the other part of this story, then I'm going to get back in the scriptures. Okay? We had that thing towed over to a transmission place here in town. They fixed it, and they said it'd be $1,200. Okay? I'm just going, I don't know what to do. So I got home that day, and we had refinanced our house, and sitting in our mail was a check for $1,205 from the mortgage company, because we overpaid it or something like that, and they owed us $1,205. I'm not making that, at least is that the truth? Okay? And I'm just going, at least I got $5. So when I went to pick up the car, it had been sitting out in that hot August sun. Okay? The whatever glue had melted holding the rear view mirror up, and it was down in the floorboard. So I had to stop and get some kind of glue to glue that. That's about $3 or $4. So I'm about a dollar ahead on this deal, all right? That's just me telling you, guys, it really is your responsibility. Now, I'm gonna throw something in. I'm going to throw you a curveball, okay? That does not mean you're the dictator of the family. It does not mean it's my way or the highway, fellas, because you don't think right. Half the time, you don't think right. Amen? That's why God gave you a wife. She sees from a different angle. That's why God gave you two eyes, by the way. Both of them look at it from a different angle. Did you ever think about that? That's God gave you a wife to look at it from a different perspective and a different angle to help you make those decisions. Now, can I have all God's people say amen to that?
Amen.
In good shape so far. Genesis chapter 3. Now, having said all that, I'm going to say this. God put us in charge, and He stuck a bunch of thorns in us. Why? Because of our stupid sinfulness. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." How many of you know that's true? Say amen.
Amen.
I don't care what job you have. It's going to bring sorrow to you one way or the other. He said, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." So we talked about this last Sunday. We're going to deal with thorns here for a little while. So just kind of be ready. And I don't know when I'm going to conclude this message. I don't know where God's going to take it after today. So you just pray about that, all right? But I want you to think of the thorns and the briars. The thorns and the briars, all right? And what they represent. I want you to notice that in this passage here, in Genesis, what verse would that be? 3:17. That thorns are a type or a picture of a curse. Not everything in your marriage is going to be great. There's going to be some things that are going to try to curse it, all right? I've got an idea for a message. I don't know if God's going to let me preach it. But it's a rose among thorns, all right? I don't know how to preach it yet like I'm doing this one. But anyway, thorns represent a curse. Thorns represent the result of our sinfulness. So I want you to think about this. I'm going to put stuff on the screen. I'm going to show you something, okay? They came out with this movie back, 1974, 75, something like that, called The Omen. I never watched it for years, and I finally, several years ago, I watched it, and with a little bit of understanding. And whoever wrote this script for this movie knew exactly some Bible. I think they were led by a spirit.
Yes.
Because this is a movie about the birth of the Antichrist. And how he's this little five-year-old sinful little boy, which I've seen plenty of those around. Amen? Okay? Do something mean and then look at you like this. Okay? His last name in this movie was Thorn. Whoever named him that knew exactly what they were doing. And I'll tell you this, thorns represent the Antichrist. Okay? That's who they represent. That's the fruition of the curse that this world is coming to. The world and the sinfulness of the world is going to bring forth the man of sin. So you understand where I'm going with this. Say amen. All right, now that we're done with the movies. You know what? Let me do this. There's your briar patch. That is not what I want my home to look like. And I'm not just talking, I am talking about my physical home and the things that grow around it. I don't want to look like it's overgrown with thorns and weeds and thistles and rotten stuff everywhere. I don't want that. I want a nice looking place to live. Amen? You know what it does? It takes work. Amen? Amen, men?
Amen.
It takes work, boys.
Amen.
Boys?
Amen.
Takes work, boys. Amen. You don't want your house to look like that. I don't want my marriage to look like that. I don't want my family to look like that. And it has nothing to do with pride. It has everything to do with decency. Amen? This is not pleasing to the eyes. So I don't want this. And what this represents is the curse of sin. And I want all the sins out of my life gone. I want them out of my wife's life. I want them out of my children's life. I want them all gone. I don't want a bunch of thorns laying around. Okay? But if we neglect our responsibility as men in our own personal lives, in our families, and even in our churches. I don't run this thing by myself. If we neglect our responsibilities that God gave us as men, this is exactly what things are going to end up looking like. Isaiah chapter 32. Pastors out there, God gave you, and I'm going to say this and I love you, God does not ever design for a woman to be a pastor over a church. The bishop, he says it in two places, the bishop is to be the husband of one wife. Woman can't do that. Okay? He is to rule his household well, the Bible says. So the Bible did not allow for women to be pastors. But men, those of you listening to me, those of you out in Kenya, if there's pastors out there, I want to tell you something. God gave you the responsibility over that church to preach the gospel to that church and to preach things that are right, and for your church to not look like a briar patch and a, what is it, the trees out there, acacia trees? God gives you the responsibility over your church to make sure that your church is right with God. And how is your church going to get right with God? If what comes out of your mouth is nothing but the Word of God, God will bless that church and He'll make it flourish. Amen. Let me hear God's people say amen. So here's what He said in Isaiah 32. He said, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Think about it. A church is to be a house of joy. Amen. A church is to be a house of joy. It is to be a blessing to people. We come in here, when people, we have visitors come in here, we don't slap them upside the head. So what are you doing here? How can, we don't pull guns on them. So what are you doing here? Amen. We want them to come in and like us. And not just on Facebook. Amen. We want them to like us. We want them to see something in this place that they haven't seen anywhere else. And if we're not careful, men, God will turn this place into a briar patch real fast. Because it doesn't take long, does it? And He said in Jeremiah 12, He said, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. By the way, men, those of you sitting here, those of you at home, I know you're not a pastor. But are you not a shepherd over your flock? God's going to deal with you. So you think about this while he's saying it. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. How many men do you think in Jefferson County went sowed seed everywhere all over the county and they don't take care of their own children? Thousands. Doesn't it make you mad? Woman's raising three or four children. Don't have the dad around. He's out sowing seed everywhere, all over town, all over the county. So you know who their daddy is? The government. Or some stranger that's going to abuse them. See, it makes me mad. It ain't right, guys. It ain't right. So He's calling us. He said, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They've trodden my portion underfoot. They've made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They've made it desolate. Being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate. And think about what He's talking about, a desolation. That means nobody can live there because the briar patch is too thick. Nobody can live there, and it's just overgrown with weeds and thistles and everything else. Verse 12, the spoilers have come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land, even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. And look at verse 13. By the way, let me deal with verse 12 here for a minute. I want you to look at verse 12 again. The spoilers are come. When you take that bread, Ian, you bring over here. Okay? The clock is ticking on that bread. The clock is ticking on that bread. Because what happens to bread when it just sits out for a while? What's going to happen? You know what mold is? It's a spoiler. Mold is stealing the bread from your mouth. Think about that. That's what mold is. We say, well, we can't eat that bread. It's spoiled. Who spoiled it? The mold did. Or the mice. Or whatever got into it. It's been spoiled. Now, dads and husbands and men and pastors, think about it. When you will not be right, and please, men, I am not preaching down condescending to you. I learned this by experience. When you will not do what you are required to do to take care of your own home, your own family, of your church, spoilers are going to come in and they're going to start stealing them away. You know why people end up in cults? Most cults know that they can go after church people. Why? Because they're the easiest ones to get at because they have a belief in God and Jesus. And they go after people who have not been taught and taken care of in their church. And they come in, spoiling them with vain deceit, and fill their mind with a bunch of false doctrine, and steal them away from the house of God, and now they're involved in some cult. You mark it down. Most cults, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, other ones like that, they are full of former church members. Okay? So you stop and think about this, fellas. Stop and think about this, pastors. You want somebody to steal your kids? You want somebody to steal your wife? You want somebody to start going after people in your house? Get rid of the briar patch. It's good preaching when you don't say amen. Okay? That's because we're going, oh me, oh my. That's good. That'll help us, guys. That'll help us, men. Where was we? Look at verse 13. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. That is exactly what God told Adam. It's exactly what he told him. He said, you've sown wheat. You want that wheat to grow. You want to be able to be nourished by that. And when you go out there at harvest time, it's a wonder that you've got anything left because of the thorns and the briars and the thistles. And that's, guys, that's God dealing with us. You wanted a happy place. You wanted your children to grow up right. But you let the thorns go too far. You've sown wheat but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit, and they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Let me move on. Numbers 33. Here's how the Bible now is going to define what these thorns are. Okay? So you might want to write this down or just kind of make a note in your mind. Here's what thorns represent. God was careful in the Bible to tell us what these things are. Okay? So number one, get ready. This is a tough one here. Numbers 33:55, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. He says in Joshua 23:13, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And in Judges chapter 2, verse 3, he said, wherefore I also said, I will, and he's reminding them of what he told them back in Numbers, and back in Joshua. He said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. So number one, guys, let's write this down, okay? Number one, here's the thorns. He said in verse 55 of Numbers, chapter 33, the inhabitants of the land. You know who that is? That's your buddies. That's your buddies. Okay? Men in this country and in this day and age, for the most part, do not tend the flock at home. They work, and then they run around. They'll go to bars, they'll go to pool halls, they'll go to dance halls, they'll go to nudist bars. I knew a guy that, I'm not even going to say anything about him because some of you know him. But on his way home from work, he would divert his car and drive over into Brooklyn, Illinois, East St. Louis. That is one of the most dangerous places in this area for a white man to go. And he was going over there, going in those bars and buying dope. And I told him, you're going to be dead one of these days. They're going to have you on the news as a drug deal that went bad. God finally brought him out of that stuff. I hadn't heard from him in a while, but God finally brought him out of that stuff. But he was out there, and he was running with the crowd. He knew some people over there. And he was running with the fellas, running with the crowd, running with the boys. And listen, that might be fine, When you're 19 years old, 20 years old, and you're not married. When I was in college, I had my buddies, and every now and then we'd just go and take off and run around. We had a curfew at the school, so we had to be back at a certain time, 11:30 on weekends. We was always back. But until then, we'd just run around. We'd have a good time. We didn't do anything wrong or anything immoral, anything like that, just having a good time. I've had all that. And when I got married, when I come home from work, you know what I did? I stayed home. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, go home, and I'd stay home. And I was home with my wife where I belonged. Amen. See, you're not going to, if you're running with the boys, you're going to do stuff the boys are doing. By the way, you young boys, you listen to this. It's good. This will help you. Okay? You don't need to be running with the boys. Amen. And your refusal, now watch this now, your refusal to stay away from people that's no good for you, God's going to let them be thorns in your sides. While you tell yourself, I'm not going to do what they're doing, the clock is ticking and it's just a matter of time. Am I telling you the truth?
Amen.
Okay? You can't run with them anymore. You can't stay out late at night anymore. You can't do that. Amen. That's, he said, there's going to be thorns in your sides. And I'm going to tell you something. Your marriage, I just know stories about people. I talked about this guy in Sunday school. His thorn was he went to pool hall every night. Had wife and kids at home. Kids that never saw their dad because he got up 4:30 to go to work and come home till 1:30 at night from the pool hall drunk. His wife finally said, get out. I don't have anything to do with you anymore. Thorns. And it cost him. His whole family was a briar patch. Here's what else they are. Sons of Belial. Verse 2 Samuel 23:6. Sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrown away because they cannot be taken with hands. And I'm not even prepared to preach this part of it. There's a Bible way to get rid of the thorns in your life, and you can't pull them out with your hands. Can you? No, sir, you cannot. Okay, and I'm not even ready to preach that yet. He said, sons of Belial shall be all of the thorns thrust away. This is why you cannot run with those people anymore. Because watch this now. He said, is there any concord between Christ and Belial? No, there's no agreement between Jesus and Satan. They're not trying to get along with everybody like the Pope is with Rick Warren and people. They're not trying to get along. Okay? Jesus said, what a communion hath light with darkness? None. They don't get along with it. When one's there, the other one's not. When one, the other one's there, this one's not. That's how it is. And God gives us these simple things. And you cannot, as a son of God, run around with sons of Belial. Belial's the devil. You cannot do that. They will be thorns in your sides. They will be thorns in your life. They will be thorns in your home. Proverbs 15:19, the way of a slothful man is as an hedge of thorns. Look at what he's saying about that. Lazy husbands. Lazy dads. Lazy men. Lazy churchmen. Lazy pastors. This is what he's talking about. When you do nothing but lay around, the thorns will grow. Don't they? We have an expression. An idle mind is?
Devil's
workshop. And how true is that? According to this verse, how true is that? You want a happy home. You want good children. You want a lasting marriage. You want a happy church. You want a good church. It takes work. God put us to dress the vineyard, to dress the garden, to take care of it. And if we see weeds growing, pull them out. But what is here we go. What does Jesus tell us about finding problems in other people's lives? Pull the splinter out of our own eye first, guys. Isn't it easy, fellas? Let's just be honest. Ladies, stop yours. Do like this for a minute. They're not. I'm going to have to say it gently now because they're not going. Okay? Isn't it easy to see all the messed up things your wife's got in her rolling around her head? There's one brave man. one dead man. Thorns, Jimmy. We see things that kids do. We see things the wife does. And I'm going to say this. I don't know that anybody listening to me is like this. But let me tell you something. Husbands, men, dads, fellas, God gave you a loud, deep voice that commands respect. It is not strength in a man that yells at his wife and kids all the time. It is strength in a man when he restrains it. Amen? We've heard these men, "Honey, why'd you do that? That was stupid. You're the stupidest woman. I don't know why I married you." There's men that do that to their wives. I'd like to kick their teeth down their throat. "You stupid. I told you not to leave the toys in the hallway. Now I stepped on them. Now I can't go to work." You know how we stretch it out. I'd like to tear your head off talking to your kids that way. Amen? See, you know what the qualifications of a pastor is? He's to be the husband of one wife, and he's to rule his family well. That does not mean he's a dictator and everybody does what he wants them to do. That means he does a very good job at ruling his household. That means that his wife and children, out of respect, will obey him without saying a word. Amen, guys? Okay? That's a qualification for being a shepherd over your family. Rule your house well. Don't be mean. Don't be hateful. Don't be screaming at everybody, hitting everybody. By the way, you hit your wife, I'll form a posse if I find out about it. I don't go for that stuff. That ain't right. Guys, I can preach this stuff to you because we need it. We need it in needs. We need it, all right? We need it bad. The way of a slothful man is a hedge of thorns. So that your laziness, all you have to do is nothing. That's all you have to do, guys. All you have to do for your house and your marriage and your everything, your car, everything that's fine to you, you like, all you have to do is nothing. Corruption will take over for you. The spoilers come in, spoil it. Proverbs 22, verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. That means he's perverse and disobedient. Okay? He will not listen. He will not listen to anybody telling him what to do. He will not take good advice. He's perverse in his thoughts and his actions and his deeds and everything like that. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. But he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Did you see that part of the verse? There's always a blessing in here. Okay? Now, think about this. Think of someone's life that made a complete mess. Think of a man, fellas, that made a total wreck of their life. Think of somebody you know that has ruined everything they've ever touched, and they are nothing but a big briar patch. And ask yourself, do I want to be like that? I guarantee you, that kind of stuff runs through my mind a lot. When I hear of pastors that have gone bad doctrinally, when I hear of pastors that have gone bad morally, I ask myself, do I want to be like that? But I've got it in me. I don't want to be like that. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. That's good stuff. Amen. And then Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us the parable of the seed and the sower. And I got a couple more things I want to share with you, then we'll leave, all right? But I want you to just kind of steal your soul for a minute and just, I want you to start thinking of your response today, all right? your response, how you're going to respond to what I'm saying. If you get mad at me because you think I'm just meddling, you're taking it the wrong way. Trust me. Okay? I was prepared to take this message another way, and how I'm doing it now, I had not even thought of until I started saying it. All right? I promise you it's that way. Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. I encourage you to read those. There's a lot of profound wisdom in that parable. I have gained many things from that, all right? But he talks about the seed and the sower. And the seed, of course, is the Word of God. It's the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good stuff. Amen. That'll help you. That'll build a good, solid foundation for your life and for your home. Listen, parents of younger children, you are not going to produce for this world perfect children. Amen? You are not going to produce for this world perfect children. You do, however, have an opportunity to present to this world trained children. Children who know what to do when things go bad or when they do something wrong. It is good. So he said that the seed is the word. And he says in Matthew chapter 13 verse 7, some fell among thorns and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, brought forth fruit. And he says in verse 22 of that, he tells you what the thorns represent. Number one, the cares of this world. Okay? The cares of this world. Number two, the deceitfulness of riches. And number three, and he doesn't give three things in Matthew, but he does in Mark chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 8. He says in Mark 4:19, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. And there is not a man in this room that does not lust after other things. Okay? And we're not saying what things they are, because they are different amongst men. The seeds are already in here. And just when you think you've got them all pulled, you turn around a week or two later, here's some more coming up. Is that right? Amen. Stay busy, fellas. Because if you don't, they'll choke the word out. Choke it out. Flowers and nice little things we grow, and herbs and carrots and potatoes and tomatoes, they do not thrive when the garden's full of briars. Neither will your marriage. Neither will your children. Neither will your home. They will not thrive. God gave you custody of what can be a beautiful garden. But He gave you the work to do. And isn't it worth it? Okay? I didn't tell you this, but our next door neighbor, Joe, the other day, and she said, "It's starting to look nice, Mike." She's talking about the little flower bed. Okay? And I didn't know how to take that. It's like, it's starting to. Needs more work. With my dad, that stuff was easy. With me, it come easy. It takes a lot of work, and it's going to take years before I get that how I want it. And if something like that is important enough to me to work after, I have to think there's something that's far more important. If I lost the house and the flower garden that goes with it, but at the end of the day, I get to keep my wife, then I'm a rich man.
Amen.
I don't want to lose this place. If this building burnt to the ground, but we got to keep everybody in it, I would be a rich man. Because that's what's more important to me. It's not the building. I love this building. It's home for me. But it's the people in it that I want to keep. And I've been at times where the thorns choked. So have you. And it's worth it to me to keep that garden clean. You see what I mean, guys? He called us men to do the work. When God put the curse into the ground, He did not announce that to Eve. Did you notice that? He did not go to Eve and tell her there was thorns in the field. He told Adam. It's because it's his responsibility to make sure they keep pulled out. Okay? There will not be perfect marriages in Bethel. Amen? We've already made sure of that one. There will not be perfect marriages in this church. But we can have marriages that when the thorns appear, let's take them out. The last part of Luke 8 says that if these things aren't taken care of, it will bring no fruit to perfection. Okay? And I told you to read this last week, and I don't have time to get into it this morning. But Hebrews 6:7 tells us, this is a beautiful passage. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it. By the way, men, where's the rain come from? Right?
Yes.
That's God. That's His word. Okay? So, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be what? Burned. That's the only thing that you can do with a briar patch, is burn it. Why? Because it's no good. So is that how you envisioned your relationship with your wife? Is that how you envisioned it? Yeah, I'm going to get this woman for all she's got in 5 years. I'm going to burn out of here. It's not what you said, is it? You wanted it to last. It's going to take work. Are we up to it, guys? I'm going to do this. I don't do this every Sunday. I'm not interested really in what you show today. What I am interested in is that you'll let this word go into your life and then don't let stuff choke it out, like pride or any of them other stupid sins, is that you'll let this thing sink in. So maybe you're here today and you would just like to come down, gentlemen, and let's just make a commitment. Families, to our church, to our God, maybe even to our country. Maybe God's holding the blessings back on our country until He takes care of stuff in the house of God. Amen? So maybe you're ready today to make that fresh commitment to your family. Maybe you're just going to let a while. Okay? Nobody's going to judge you for not coming down. But I would like to ask just the men to just come. Ladies, you stay there and you pray. You pray for your husband. You pray for other wives' husbands. You pray for the men of this church that will keep the thorns out. Amen.